Our Saturday segue of songs in the news here on Dave's Gone By. That being David Bowie, of course, the last song on his Heroes album. I'll give away the title. The title of the song is The Secret Life of Arabia. Why, and I'm going to ask this of our guests in the neighborhood, Fred Cleaver and Wendy Hybe.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Fred. We call them Friendy because they're friends of the neighborhood and it works that way. But I'm so any guesses? Sweater. Sorry.
I'm wearing my sweater. I kind of feel like a Mr. Rogers.
Oh, well, welcome to the Daber neighborhood.
Thank
yeah.
You.
And so these are the people in our neighborhood. In our neighborhood. In our neighborhood.
Yeah, we live, what do you think, as the crow flies, maybe a quarter mile, half mile, maybe half mile from each other.
That's true. And yeah. Not too far from this campus either,
right,
from UNC.
Right.
So why, you your eyes lit up when I said, how can we play The Secret Life of Arabia?
Probably because the Donald is traveling there.
The Donald is right there right now.
Yeah.
He's meeting with all these you know, towel-wrapped savages. Just kidding. Just kidding. A little bit of the rabbi in me. But yeah, no, he's in Saudi Arabia, our great good friends, fighting terrorism. and then he goes to Israel. And then he does all these whirlwind things where all these religious people... So he's going where Jesus was born, where Muhammad was born.
And he was at Liberty University just a few days ago. That was not the...
Where Oral Roberts was born?
Yeah, no, I think... Was it Falwell that founded that university?
Yeah, you're right,
yes.
Yeah. And then, I know, it'd be cool if he went to Korea where Sun Myung-moon was born. And where was Jim Jones born? He could go to Hawaii and celebrate that. All the big leaders.
Yeah, because didn't he get his converts in the Bay Area? I'm trying to remember. Or no, am I thinking...
He was born in the Midwest.
Oh, and then he went to Guyana.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Yeah,
okay, so...
Yeah, so
oh, he should go
leaders,
the Mormon
yes.
guy, too. Who? Where was that guy? The guy who found the tablets.
Joseph Smith? Oh, he's a New Yorker.
Yeah.
He was from New York?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Oh, wow.
But then they left. They were being persecuted.
Pretty
you
know, as well, they should be in New York. Why do I have microphone one? Oh, that goes up. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, but you're one out of one so far in
Dang.
Our Saturday segue. That's Wendy who got one.
Do we win like a lunch with you, Dave?
Yeah, well,
you and your lovely spouse.
Okay, tell you what. Let's see
just
if you get
presents.
Most of these will treat. How's that?
No, I wasn't. No, I just mean having you at lunch with us.
I know,
would be
I know.
A gift enough.
Yeah, but maybe I'll sweeten the pot. Let's see.
Oh, okay.
We're one for one.
Okay, you'll make us try harder. Yeah.
And you hinted at one that what we started up top with a song called Show Me.
Oh well, I won't remember his name. The Soundgarden singer.
The Soundgarden dead guy, Chris Cornell.
Okay, because I wouldn't have remembered his name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he died. He was Chris
Do
Cornell. Apparently, he hung himself.
That?
Sorry.
Oh, that is sad. Do I get half a point, by the way?
No, you get the whole thing. You
really?
Got Soundgarden.
I didn't remember his name, though.
No, but you knew why we played that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, was he manic depressive? Do you think?
You were close. You called him Chris Harvard, and it was Cornell. But yeah, sorry.
it's sad news.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, I love laugh boxes. By the way. Does that have a laugh button too?
Yeah, this is. We got laughs. We got. What else? We got this one, which I love. That's important. That's
that
the fart
cute.
Noise.
That is really cute.
Joyce usually mans these or womans these.
Yes.
But you can if you want to.
Well, no, you.
Yeah, no, because you got
now.
The mic.
Yeah. Maybe
so,
later.
But you're right. Soundgarden founded back in 1984.
Wow.
By singer rhythm guitarist Chris Cornell, who was born actually Christopher John Boyle. The year I was born, in 1964. Don't know why he changed his name.
Yeah, Boyle, what's wrong with that?
And the interesting thing is, they were the first grunge band ever signed to a major label.
Oh.
But then they got famous after Nirvana and, you know, and Pearl Jam and those other folks.
Right.
The 1994 Super Unknown album had some hits on it called Black Hole Sun and Spoon Man. Like most bands, they broke up at a certain point. They reunited back in 2010. I barely remember this band, but Cornell also founded a band called Temple of the Dog. Do you guys remember that one at all? No. He conquered drug and alcohol addiction, but apparently committed suicide on Wednesday. He was 50. He was younger than I am,
yeah,
52
that is,
years
that
old.
That's very
sad. Yeah, so, well, it's really sad because you're two for two. I mean, I'm going to have to pay for lunch. So let's make this one harder. This one's a little harder, but I'll hint you on this. It's another death one.
Okay. Because
this episode's all about death.
Okay.
Remember... Sorry,
right,
still getting with my cold.
I'll say rest in peace, Murray. I'm very sorry.
Yeah,
for your loss. Yes.
Yeah. thanks. If you listen to the first part of our program, that was all about the death of our dog yesterday, Murray, at age almost 16. So thank you guys for that. But don't change the subject. You're two for two. Adam and the Ants with a song. Remember Adam and the Ants?
Vaguely.
And a pirate-like number called Jolly Roger. Jolly Roger.
Yes.
Okay. That's one clue. And death.
Roger, somebody died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk about a rather terrible ailment.
Roger Ailes.
Boom! But, yeah, you only get half a point on that.
He was abusive.
Well, he was sexually, it wasn't physically abusing. He was just kind of a molester-ish, or tried to be.
Yeah, his employees.
He was inappropriate.
Yeah, he was inappropriate to his female employees. Yeah.
So he was pushed out.
Why did he fall? I
don't know why he fell, but his fall led to his death.
Yes.
So let's see what I got here on this. Went into a coma, dead at 77 years old. Now, everybody knows he was the CEO of Fox News and Fox TV. He had to resign a couple of months ago. He was a media consultant for Richard Nixon, which I could tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
And Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
And George W. Bush.
Wow.
And he helped Donald Trump prepare for his debates, which he didn't, and yet the motherfucker won anyway. So, yeah, it's you. I can say that word.
Oh, yeah.
Won. W-O-N. Did you know that here's the happy part. He was a hemophiliac. So he suffered on some level.
I didn't know that.
And he was the son of an abusive father. Yay!
Well, that's kind of thing can be passed down. That is very interesting.
Yeah. Now here's the amazing thing. One of his earlier jobs in media was for a particular talk show, running a talk show.
Okay.
Yeah, you will never guess, but guess.
Well, just
The View.
No. Earlier.
That's one of my favorite ones. Maybe Tom Snyder.
Okay, like era, that even era. Maybe a little earlier, but yeah, you're warmer-ish. Totally, yeah.
Cabot,
not that Cabot. Think a little more middle America, cheerier.
Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas.
Boom! I love doing this boom thing.
Mike Douglas. Well, and I have to say, apropos of a topic we'll probably talk about later.
Yeah.
I'm sure I saw Anthony Newley sing a song, a certain song on either Merv Griffin or Mike Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Something about a cake.
Something about a cake?
In the rain.
Oh, sure you want to? Oh my God, yeah.
But that's just a little teaser.
Okay, yeah. I'll be talking about the New York thing. Because Friendly went to New York last week, just a couple of days ago, and saw some cabaret and saw some theater. So keep that in mind for Mike Douglas, yeah.
I just want to say, I don't think Richard Harris did the definitive version. I think it was Anthony Newley.
It was Anthony Newley who did.
Well,
really?
I mean,
it's associated. Oh, you're
saw it on a talk show as a kid. And it was, I know Anthony.
It'll stick in your brain if you do.
Yes, it stuck in my brain. Yeah. But anyway.
But that was when Roger Ailes was running the Mike Douglas show.
That is weird.
Isn't that freaky?
Yeah, he's always in entertainment first, yeah.
Yeah, and then here's the weird thing. Do you know what he founded before Fox? Nobody gives him credit for that.
TV?
Nobody even mentions this.
Is it a TV network? Or?
He founded MSNBC.
Oh.
He founded the
ironic.
Alternate Fox.
That is very ironic, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, he just jumped to whatever would... But it's like Rupert Murdoch. Yeah. They're just, you know.
Well, it seems like these people who had power in the 70s and are like, you know, they're holding on to it tooth and nail. Would you say?
Well, yeah. Wouldn't you? Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had that kind of power.
Well, no. If I were Roger Ailes, I would just. But you climb different mountains.
I wouldn't abuse people. Yeah.
Oh well, no. That was just a. He's a man with a dick. That was it. No, he would say inappropriate things to female coworkers in the vain hope that they would take this pudgy, you know, weird-looking guy. I mean, he was shaped, we talk about a potato, he was shaped like a white potato, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to get any action, but if you're incredibly rich and powerful, you can kind of get what Fox considers hot blonde women to look at you twice and take your bullshit, which he did, you know. As did Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, it seems like we need to educate these people to be better people.
Good luck. Yeah, they just fired the another guy on Fox. One of the because of was it racial or was it
it was racial,
gay?
Yeah.
It was racial thing.
Yeah.
And he was the left winger.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it happened. I mean, Anthony Weiner. I mean, yeah.
I meant Anthony.
Yeah. That's an example of someone on the left who had a problem with,
you know,
sexual misconduct as well.
Are we jumping ahead?
Funny you should mention that.
Sorry.
Funny you should mention.
Don't tell me you got three now.
Because I can't give you the Roger Ailes thing. I just gave you too many clues on that. But we, after the Adam and the Ant song Jolly Roger for Roger Ailes, we did play a song from the 2003 Forgotten Broadway musical that was actually kind of cute called Amour. That was the name of the show. A song called Prosecutor's Song.
Oh, the prosecutor that's been appointed. Do you know his name?
Robert Mueller.
Special counselor. Robert Mueller, appointed to look into Russia's meddling in the 2016 presidential elections. He was appointed by the Deputy Attorney General, so he's already started his business.
Yeah,
taking over for that nut job, James Comey.
he didn't strike me as a nut job. I don't, you know.
Yeah, he's a little, but I mean,
well,
exaggeration.
But look who's talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But that could be the pot calling the kettle, except that's racist to say, isn't it? But I could get fired from Fox News.
Oh, another teaser, 6868.
What?
You know what that means, don't you, hon? Comey is 6 foot 8 inches, and we saw...
He's very tall, yeah. She's saying.
Okay. So that's why he looks goofy
and
behind a hedge.
And there's someone who put that 6'8 fact in her play, in the words... But that's a teaser.
Oh, in the show that you saw. Got it.
But go on. Yes, by the way, are we a team? Did these points...
Yeah, they're both a crew, the both of you. It's not...
Oh, excellent. Okay.
It's you guys versus me. So I'm figuring you've got about... By telling you it was Prosecutor's Song, that was a little obvious, but I'll give it to you. So you got 3 out of 4. I think you've already won. Great. Lucky me. Okay.
Well, no, we'll just be happy to be with you at lunch.
We heard from the 2001 version. We mentioned Gerard Alessandrini before, the guy who created Spamilton and also Forbidden Broadway. We heard a track from the 2001 edition, a spoof Odyssey of Forbidden Broadway, which was their 7th volume already, a song called Let's Ruin Times Square Again.
That was the driver who plowed through it.
I'm glad we were
just a few days after we were there.
That's right, man. Richard Rojas, whom everybody thought was at first just a drunk driver, but he was on all sorts of things and crazy, batshit crazy, wanting to kill people. In the middle of Times Square, at least it wasn't Wednesday, a matinee day, so it wasn't running down the theater ladies.
What time of day was it?
Oh, it was, had to be middle of the afternoon, wasn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even, nighttime is even more crowded, so he got them in the daytime. Yeah, killed one person, injured.
20-something.
Yeah. So, Richard Rojas, Let's Ruin Times Square Again, get it? So he ruined it. God damn it, you guys are getting everything. All right, this one's going to be tough. This one's tough. From her album Red Letter Year, we played Ani DiFranco's song Emancipated Minor. I'm not going to give you a hint. You've already won the damn thing. What she said?
What's the question? I'm sorry, like a current event.
The name of the song
Emancipated
is...
Emancipated Minor.
Yes.
Justin Bieber.
No.
He's older than that, I know.
No, you already pre-answered it.
You're asking us, do we know an emancipated minor in the news?
Think about the title. Minor. What just happened in the news concerning a minor? And not the spelunking kind of.
Oh, you're talking about, this is the Anthony Weiner.
This is the Anthony Weiner one.
Oh, okay.
He was convicted. He pled guilty to sexting with a minor.
So he might have some prison time, huh?
Yeah. In fact, here's the deal. He pleaded guilty, one count of sexting a minor. He has to register as a sex offender because of this. And he agrees not to appeal a sentence that could give him up to 21 to 27 months in jail. And the same day that he does this, you know what happened?
his wife filed for divorce.
I know, what the fuck she was. It's like, well, this is the last of the last of the last of the last.
Yeah, well, some miracle he would have been found innocent. She might have.
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, it's very sad.
I mean, I do feel bad for the guy. I mean, you know, he wasn't stripping some 12-year-old in an alley. I mean, he was
so compulsive. I mean, it's sad that he was that compulsive. I mean, you know, they caught him in that documentary. I mean, he was so compelled. It's very sad. It's very sad.
With Roger Ailes, men have dicks. You know.
Yeah, but not all men have that particular. I mean, not
to that level.
Out of control. Yeah, they're not out of control.
I guess.
Not all. No. Many, many of them are not.
Yeah. Put me in a room with 8-year-old girls. I don't promise anything. Let me tell you.
I don't believe you.
God. All right. Maybe 9-year-olds.
Next question. No, I don't believe you. Next question.
Next one. No, you got them. You got almost every freaking one.
We're in the money.
You got the Soundgarden. You got Agam and the Yanks. You got the Moore song. You got Forbidden Broadway. Annie DeFranco. And the Bowie.
For Arabia. We're in the money. We've got friends, and we're in the...
So congratulations on that. Now, let's turn the conversation to you two. Wendy, Hybe, Fred Cleaver, been married for a bunch of years, and you take vacations together.
And our portmanteau is...
Yeah, remind them, how did that portmanteau thing get together? Well, did you see her portmanteau? Was that it?
No, I just like that word, and I like it that we made portmanteaus of our... That's when two...
Oh, okay. No, because there's an off-Broadway show called Her Portmanteau playing.
No. The so that's why. Yes, I saw it across the street.
Oh, we okay. I thought you were going to see it.
I did not go to see it. I would, gosh, if I could stay, I mean, if I could live in New York.
I know.
Like you did and go to plays every night.
I know.
Oh, Dave, what happened? Why did you leave?
Hello.
You followed your lovely wife in her career, as my husband did for me. Yes.
Exactly. And that's what happened. So I gave up... That very important part of my life to an extent. So
it must be why DuVois and Friendy are friends.
Yeah, we have similar, a commonality of experience, and there's compensations living in Greeley, Colorado.
We're looking out the basement.
I know the window is covered with schmutz, but you can still see a beautiful sky.
Yes, it is a beautiful day. Yes, because of the precipitation that preceded us.
Oh, wait till see the lawns for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be so beautiful
dandelions
here.
Dandelions, and you can see snow on the mountains today. It's lovely.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, but moving away from Colorado, you guys went to New York for what? 5 days?
New York, a wonderful town. We're still a little bit in that New York state of mind.
Sure.
But it's sort of seeping away.
Did you take a Greyhound through the Hudson River line? No, I guess probably not. No, certainly not. Okay, so what did you do? Talk to me.
Well, we did take the tram.
The tram? Roosevelt Island?
Roosevelt Island?
Yeah.
Yes, that was a
great view.
They can't hear you if you're not both on. Yeah.
It's a great view of, was it the East River we were looking
at? Yes, it's the East River. Yeah.
It was lovely, looking both north and south.
Wow.
It was beautiful. And
so, yeah, it's just a very cheap little trip.
Oh, I know. We had friends who lived on Roosevelt Island. We'd have to go see them. It was a big pain in the ass for them to live on Roosevelt Island.
Why was it a pain in the ass? It seemed like a lovely place to live.
But imagine you're not, you can't just... You have to rely on that thing to get home, no matter what.
Right.
If it stops, you know, just, if you have to wait 20 minutes every time, you got to go on the mainland.
Subway also, but
does the subway?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's why it was built, because they were building the subway, and they put that up as a temporary thing. And
they just left it?
Left it, yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you, what were you doing on Roosevelt Island, just to see it?
You moved too fast. You got to make the morning light.
Well, you should send me that picture of the 59th
Street
Bridge.
Yeah. Street Bridge.
Tripping down the cobblestone.
Oh, got it.
Looking for...
And feeling groovy. Yeah.
I had done a little parody to that song, and it was on my mind. And Fred said, well, we could go there.
Great.
So, but I mean, it was really Fred's ideas, but yeah. So we walked around the island. And I sang that song to you many times. And there are a lot of lampposts, by the way. Hello, lamppost.
Makes sense.
Was there no one? I've come to watch your flowers growing. Ain't you got no rhymes or any? Dootin' dootin' feeling groovy. There are a few flowers, but there should be more flowers there.
Well, maybe this time. Give me a week or two, but yeah.
So we walked around the island, and there was a historical plaque on a building called the Octagon. And we walked up, and it used to be a mental hospital.
Oh, wow.
It was so interesting. Yeah.
I've been to the Octagon. I ate there. Ate. That's funny right there. Anywho.
So that was very lovely. It was just scenic, yeah. And, you know, we had our transit pass, and it was just a lovely thing to do.
That's a way cool thing. I mean, I've been on the road, but it was just a way to get from one place to the other. Yeah. It didn't feel like, ooh, this is special. I didn't take it the right way like you guys did, like tourists sort of thing.
Yeah, we did it.
Well, what else did you do? What else did you do in New York?
Well, we went to several plays.
Actually, if you could hold the mic a little closer up. Yeah.
We went to several plays.
Yes.
Fred went to four of them. I went to only two. I was at a conference. So
what was your conference, by the way? Was it a film thing?
It was libraries and archives in the Anthropocene, which is all about this era that we're in, that in which there's man-made climate change. And so it was all about how those institutions are going to deal with climate change.
Well, how the hell is a library going to deal with climate change? Just change the humidifier? I mean, what?
Well, that's a start, yeah.
The humidifier's in that room because of the flood, yeah.
Yeah, so, it is a whole variety of things. I mean, some folks are almost into it to the tune of, you know, survival prepping. I'm not. I'm more interested in, like, doing programming that's very green, that kind of thing. So.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, especially archives, they have to think about how to preserve things. And like you mentioned about humidity, I mean, seriously, they do have to worry about, climate.
Let me, what the hell does Anthropocene mean?
It's sort of this era, it's just they're naming this era we're in. You know how there's the Holocene and all the different...
It's a human era where we're causing the changes in the world.
I remember the Nazi Holocene, that was really terrible. Yeah.
I think she had her conference in your old stomping grounds or something.
NYU,
at cinema, yeah.
What's new at NYU? Any new buildings?
I don't know, but
we don't know.
I will say, the Tisch School of Related to Cinema. Am I saying that correctly? Anyway.
No, Tisch or Canbar also, but yeah.
So they hosted us, and we had a little auditorium in there. It was a small conference. Anyway, it was lovely, and it looked like, I mean, I wish I lived in New York.
I know.
There were such interesting courses going on. They were doing some.
So NYU,
Anyway,
hey, UNC has, you know, intermediate German and nursing too.
Yes, we have a wonderful theater department here.
They do. Yes. I know. Okay, so tell us about the plays that you saw.
So the first one. Well, first I have to say the tickets. Have you ever seen two indecisive people at the tickets booth?
Been there, done that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I have some etiquette questions for you on that.
Sure.
But anyway, we did make a decision. So
so you were at the TKTS booth in Times Square, and you chose an off-Broadway show. That's really interesting.
Yes.
Well, one thing, it was like almost 7 o'clock. Most of the shows were starting at 7 that night, and I hadn't eaten dinner or lunch.
Oh, so you wanted to have food first?
Yeah.
And
so
okay.
So I wanted to pick an 8 o'clock show.
And I will say, Fred had low blood sugar, and that did affect his decisiveness level, and it affected our communication level. You know, we were both tired, and
sure.
So anyway, but we did decide, and it was a very interesting choice. It was Church and State, and it was very political, and very, very interesting the choices they made. Oh, incredible acting!
What is the play about?
It's about a Southern politician. And he's campaigning. He's a senator, and he's in the midst of his campaign. And the other two characters are his wife and his campaign manager, and then another young man that had played several roles, like a news person and various other roles. And in his campaign, he suddenly changes his stance on gun control because there's a school shooting.
Okay.
And so. And that's, you know, the women in his life don't want him to change. They're worried. They want him to win at all costs. But he really changes his stance. And then, I don't know, I shouldn't do a spoiler, should I?
You can a little bit. I mean, if it's germane to your review of what you liked about it
something,
or disliked.
Something tragic happens.
Oh, okay.
That sort of...
Was something even beyond the school shooting tragic?
Someone else gets shot.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
okay,
yeah. Yeah, anyway. So it was very interesting choices they made, I thought. And I wondered how effective it was on their audience, you know, in terms of changing minds. Because I think it really seemed like that was the goal of the play.
To take people who were NRA people and turn them towards gun control?
I could be wrong. It was to get people at least out of their apathy about it. Maybe that, because they did have, say, apathy as a four-letter word, and they had T-shirts that
said... No, it's not, but okay.
They had, well, I know. They had little wrist bracelets they were asked, you know, they were getting donations afterwards for their cause.
I was going to get one of those apathy braces, and I thought, really?
Yeah. So I mean, they made it.
Sorry.
They made it obvious that that was their goal by the end of the play.
Mm.
But maybe that, yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, they probably had more hope of.
Well, did you guys like it as a piece of political theater?
Yes and no.
Oh, all right.
Yes and no. I thought the acting was tremendous.
Okay.
And we particularly enjoyed Rob Nagel.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just fabulous in the lead role.
Okay. By the way, you're talking about Church and State. I don't know if we mentioned the
Church
name of the play.
Church and State, yeah.
At New World Theater right in Midtown, yeah. Over on 50th Street. Yeah.
And it was an interesting choice. I mean, I guess I have to say it was truly a tearjerker. And and the way I mean is that at a speech toward the end, the main character talks about this mythical place in the play that has had the school shooting. And then he starts to list the actual places where there have been shootings. And that got me to crying. And so that was quite an...
Well, when you start having a litany of anything, when they start reading names of the dead on 9/11, right. And it just the concatenation of one name after another after another, always kind of like, you know...
It was very emotional, yeah. So I thought that was sort of the tear-jerking part.
Sure, sure.
But it was effective. But I don't
Well, what did you think, Fred?
Yeah, what did you think?
Well, I think they were also trying to do a comedy, and I don't think that was that effective.
Oh, okay.
But I liked the beginning, and towards the end, it was becoming too didactic.
Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, so that was Church and State off-Broadway. That's one of the shows that you guys both saw together, Rob. What's another show that you guys saw together?
It's Karen Finley.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
The expand. What was it?
Expanded Unicorn Gratitude Mystery.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember this title. You know, I've been telling people about it at work and friends and so forth, and I can't remember the title. But I loved it. I loved it.
Wow, okay.
It was fabulous.
I haven't seen her do stuff in years. And I never saw the one with the yam up her ass, unfortunately.
Wow.
That would have been my personal choice. But I did see her in later. And Joyce has never forgotten, and she's always mentioning. We saw Karen Finley. She opened one of her shows just like 15, 20 years ago in a bridal gown and then coming out and vacuuming the floor.
Oh,
and she was like, that's marriage. She was like, what an image. And I'm like, hon, I do all the fucking vacuuming. What does that even mean to you? You don't even vacuum. Why is this so relevant to you? And they're like, okay. But so what is this Karen Finley solo about?
Well, it was very feminist. So again, yeah. So this is about current political times. In my opinion, yeah, it's about current times. And it had Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and Monica Lewinsky. She plays all those characters. Plus, she plays sort of a spoiled, bratish every woman at the beginning that's really into the unicorn and probably into magical thinking.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then at the very end, the character that I like and kind of... We were talking about this. The character at the end was kind of like a prostitute on... what was that show? The Vietnam show on TV? You're going to...
Vietnam?
China Beach.
China Beach,
okay.
Yeah, kind of a China Beach prostitute character at the end, I would liken it to, if that helps people understand.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so, I mean, it explained the psychosocial reality behind these candidates.
Hmm.
And so the gratitude part in the expanded Unicorn Gratitude Mystery,
yeah,
that was Hillary just saying how sorry she was that she lost the election, how she thanked everyone. And she was just sort of
no
like
sorry than Joe Biden, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She was sort of a doormat in a way. It was really upsetting. It was really upsetting to see it on site. But it made a lot of sense. Yeah. When you think about her, you know, remember she went to the inauguration? I mean, what a gracious loser she was in a way.
Well, they always go.
Anyway, I think what Finley was trying to say is that she went too far in that direction.
Oh, of being conciliatory
and staying with her husband, you know, in spite of his betrayal and so forth. And so then when she played the Monica Lewinsky character,
yeah,
that was incredible. That the staging of that, she wore this blue dress. This dress was huge. It had a huge train. The train was so big. This was like a Christo Yeah, the terrain was draped across the audience. You could touch it.
Yeah.
It was
I hope there weren't stains on it.
No. They're not at that point.
Oh, at that point, yeah, okay.
And somehow I would love to see this again, because at the point that did happen,
yeah.
It took us a little bit by surprise, because it's something about the way she places it in the dialogue. It was it was surprising.
Well, anyway, at least she didn't blow it, or maybe she did. But you know,
well, I didn't think so. She was wonderful, but yeah, we were wondering a silly thing.
Yeah,
and we know, like, you like to be blue, as is the blue dress, right? That how the prop, you know, the props people had to figure out the correct texture, and we were wondering what they used.
For the dress?
For the staining of material on the dress.
Material, yeah. Well, they have to be able to wash it. They could put soap on it. I mean, fresh soap is...
It was... Yeah, we were thinking more in the dairy family.
Well, anyway, they have to wash it.
It looked very white and creamy.
Sort of like maybe a mix of... what you always have it every morning on your bagel, honey.
Cream cheese.
Yeah, a little bit like cream cheese mixed with something else.
Well, you know, there is a show in Midtown called, Sexual Secrets of Gay Men Told to a Straight Woman or something like that. And so maybe they had a leftover bucket of fake spooge that they just like, we need to borrow this for 3 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, yeah, anyway.
So it sounds like, at least at the Karen Finley thing, you're glad you came.
I was. It was fantastic.
Well, did you like it as much, Fred, or?
Probably not as much as Wendy did, but I enjoyed it, yes.
Oh, good.
It was so cathartic. It was just...
Where was it? Theater for New City? Oh, La Mama.
East Village, is that correct?
How does La Mama... Have they done anything? I mean, Ellen Stewart, the founder of La Mama, died a couple of years ago. Have they revamped it? Have they... Does it look the same as, like, years ago?
Well, I haven't been in it years ago I know of. Unless you think we saw the Swedenborgian play there.
We did see a play about Swedenborg there. This was in their small, they call the club, it was on the top floor. And
but yeah. I would say that the man, I don't remember his name, but there was a wonderful, I guess he directs it now, maybe, the theater?
I don't know the name of it.
Anyway, he got off at the beginning and introduced the show, and he read an excerpt from the Constitution. He said he's been reading that every play since the election. It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
I'm so glad La Mama's still. I mean, it is a treasure.
And the house, I guess probably the house manager that let us in the door.
Yeah.
He was a sweetheart. Yeah, because I told him about my Parkinson's and told I wanted to because it was up several flights of stairs.
Oh.
So
I assume they don't have elevator access.
No. So I just wanted him to know if I that everything would be okay, that I'd be able to get up there and stuff. But I just didn't want him to be concerned. Anyway, he was really sweet. So
great.
Yeah.
I'm very glad to hear that. By the way, did they? It was an Ellen Stewart thing. Did they ring the bell to get people out of the lobby, or was that just her and they retired that? Like, before the show starts, she would come around ringing the bell and gathering everyone.
No, but there was really wasn't a lobby, per se. I mean, the entrance we went in was really small, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really a comfy lobby to hang out in.
So those are the two shows that you guys saw together. Fred, you went to two other shows in New York.
Two other shows?
Yes. What did you see?
First one was Pacific Overtures.
Yeah.
I thought it was wonderful, yes.
Well, first of all, you're a Japanophile.
I'm a
Sino's Chinese. What do they call it? Is it a Japanophile?
That's good enough. Yeah,
a Slantophile. But yeah. Anywho, yeah.
It's a show, a Stephen Sondheim show about Commander Perry coming from America to force Japan to open up to the West.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And so, and it was very simply staged, mostly just the bear.
Fashion
runway, it was a long stage and done it all in just wearing modern clothes. And
oh, really? It was a modern dress. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you liked it? You thought
it was very good. I mean,
were you familiar with the score going in?
Yes, I was. So
cool. Yeah, so how they did? How was someone in a tree? How were the songs?
Songs were X wonderful and I mean, George Takei was very good doing
George Takei, you saw him. That's the second time. You guys went to New York last year, and you saw George Takei in Allegiance.
That's
right. Great. Yeah,
right, you even came out with a George Takei face mask thing.
A fan, sorry. But it has his face on.
Yes, and now you saw him again.
Yes. Yes.
He was the narrator, I assume.
Yeah, they call him the reciter. And yes.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm glad you got to see that.
I know it's... It was an all Asian cast, which is not always done that way because,
right,
because
yeah,
a lot of people don't have access.
So the Asians playing the white people like Perry and all those folks?
You don't really see Perry, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no. I mean, well, they do. They play ambassadors. There's one number where there's ambassadors, and you know,
yeah,
the English ambassador has like Gilbert and Sullivan type song and stuff.
But those are also played by Asians.
Yeah, those are also played by, yeah.
Cool. So you saw Pacific Overtures, lucky you. What else did you get to see?
I saw a Doll's House Part 2.
You went to see that? Yeah.
And that was fabulous.
Yeah.
Without
me. Yeah. By the way, where the hell were you when he was going to these other shows?
She was at
a conference at NYU.
Yes, I was there.
So was it a conference that went on at night, or were you seeing matinees?
These are both matinees.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a...
So how was a Doll's... I mean, it was the last show to open of the season. And
yeah,
the review, nobody knew anything about it. People were kind of like, they knew Lucas Neff, the playwright, a little bit. But, and then the reviews came out and they said it was terrific. You're saying,
okay,
yep.
Yeah, it was funnier than I expected. I sort of was just thinking Ibsen and not being funny, but this was funny.
Yeah.
It's a 4-person cast. I believe all 4 of them are nominated for Tony Awards.
Wow. Well, I know Laurie Metcalf's in there.
Laurie Metcalf, Chris Cooper.
Oh, Chris Cooper, that's right.
Veteran
actor.
Jane Houdyshell.
Of course.
Yeah.
They always nominate her. Yeah.
And Condola Rashad.
Yeah. Who is Felicia's daughter, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, and the show was essentially Nora comes back after 15 years of slamming the door on Torvald, but it's also in modern day?
Is that it's 15 years later.
Yeah.
She's gone off. She's been successful as a writer under a pseudonym, so they don't actually know she's been successful as a writer. But
okay.
But, you know, found out Thorvald never actually filed the divorce paperwork, and she's been signing contracts that is illegal for a married woman to sign.
Oh, dear.
So
yeah.
She's coming back asking him to do the divorce, and it doesn't go well.
That sounds... I so want to see that play.
Yeah, it's 90 minutes, no intermission. Laurie Metcalf is on stage the whole time. And
I heard she's terrific.
She's terrific, yeah.
Tell about the Sheldon thing.
Well, what happened? Tell me.
Oh, I just, you know, when I think of her, I think of, you know, Roseanne's sister. And
a friend
of mine, the first thing he thought was, oh, Sheldon's mother.
Oh, right. Oh, okay, yeah. So a new generation. We'll see her from...
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. Also, we always loved her. And I don't know. There's an HBO show called Getting On.
She's
a doctor in charge of the geriatric wing of a hospital.
And it's funny. I now think of her as a Broadway actress because she's been doing a Broadway show every year now for the past few years.
So she
was in the Brighton Beach Memoirs. That was wonderful but flopped. And she was in that Nathan Lane, David Mamet comedy November, and she's training up again and again. God bless her for doing so.
I haven't seen any of the other Best Actress nominees, but I think she deserves it.
Well, and that show on HBO was fabulous. It really was. Yeah, too bad it didn't get renewed. Yeah.
Now let me ask you guys. Those are the 4 plays or musicals that. Well, there were all 1 musical there that you saw, but didn't you also go to a cabaret thing?
You did. So,
featuring a friend of the neighborhood.
It's Karen Mason at Don't Tell Mama.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, she was wonderful. And she's...
What did she sing? What did she do?
She did a lot of songs from her new album, It's About Time. So she did, yeah. And some of the classics like, oh, yeah, Just in Time, Over the Rainbow.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, other songs. Wendy's trying... Yeah, on Broadway, Broadway Baby.
Sing.
Yeah. Are you sure this is not Bob Dylan's new album?
Finding Wonderland?
Yeah, Finding Wonderland. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. No, don't know that one.
She did a song from her Broadway debut.
Ooh. Was it Sunset Boulevard or what? No, way before that.
It was in 1982 in a play called Play Me a Country Song.
You should have made it a quiz.
I'll fail. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
I've heard of Play Me a Country Song, but okay.
Opened on June 27th, 1982.
Yeah.
The next...
Oh,
and when do you think it closed?
The reason it closed in 1982...
When do you think it closed?
Play Me a Country the same night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I looked up the Frank Rich review from the next day's New York Times.
Yeah.
We encounter them at a Virginia theater so dead it might convert even a confirmed alcoholic to Perrier. This becomes clear the moment the curtain makes the mistake of going up.
Oh, my God. Couldn't it have been that bad?
The banal music and lyrics are played by a tinny pit band whose lackluster electronic arrangements are left uncredited.
Oh, yes. God.
But I mean, she has this in her show, and it's really funny.
I'm sure she was making fun of,
It was great,
Yes.
Because it's sort of like...
Oh, Fred, can you tell the mic?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like she's telling the story of her career and, you know, having fun with it. Yeah, so it's really fun.
Oh, that sounds...
In her
sounds
show, yeah.
I'll just share one other thing.
Sure, please.
You know, country-flavored music has its place on Broadway, but country song could set this cause back 10 years... Jerry Adler's direction of this show could set the musical theater back further than that.
Oh, God!
That must have been awful.
I'm saying, you know, take a hatchet to the hatchet.
I know, and then he complains about all these people who, like,
do you say anything about
a top ticket price of $29. I must have felt so ripped off.
Actually, in 1982, that was a lot.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, $29 for orchestra in 82. That was... That does sound like quite a bit, especially for a piece of shit like Play Me a Country. Yes. Like, oh, no, I'm kidding. Okay, so you're saying Karen Mason was fabulous in concert.
She was fabulous.
Don't tell Mama.
Don't tell Mama.
You took a picture with her afterwards, which
I
was
did.
Cool.
She said she remembers you.
Really?
She does.
That's amazing. That's very nice. Yes. She was lying, but okay.
Okay, maybe.
But yeah, they were very nice. Her husband was there too, helping her. You know, selling. The CDs while she was talking to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wrote that song, the It's About Time.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah, her husband.
Which song?
It's a modern song. It's about time. It's about gay marriage.
Yeah. It's a really nice song. Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, so while we were in line waiting to talk to Karen, we talked to Paul, her husband, and he was really sweet.
Yay.
And so, you know, that song, when she did Just in Time, you know, I told him that that was important to me and Fred because, you know, on our first date, Fred played Bells Are Ringing, the album to Bells Are Ringing to me.
Wait. So you went back to his place on the first date?
Yeah.
You whore.
Nothing was consummated.
But first date, you go to the restaurant and you kiss by the door.
I'm just a slut.
So
anyway, Fred played that album, and that was fun. You know, Bells Are Ringing, and that was the first musical I ever saw when I was a little kid.
That's cool.
So anyway.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
So, yay. And sounds like Karen Mason was really nice. Not just great in the show, but really nice to meet and talk to
him
afterwards.
Yeah, and so Paul said, so I was telling him I was a librarian, and because, you know, that has to do with why Fred and I met. And anyway, and he said, tell Karen, because her mom is a librarian, and she'll want to know. And she was really sweet,
Yay. Okay, yeah. We have just a few more minutes before we gotta end the show. I'm here with Wendy, Hybe, and Fred Cleaver, our friends Friendy. They went to New York. They saw all these shows. What else did you do? Any other New York stories?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
It was a piano bar story. Why
did you do that? I need to know why you chose that song. Go ahead.
Why we chose...
You're walking out the door.
Yes.
And you wanted to hear, for some reason... I mean, it's not a bad song. It was written by Rod McEwen, unless I'm mistaken. Wasn't it?
It was written by Jimmy Webb.
Oh, it's a Jimmy Webb song. I'm sorry. It is a Jimmy Webb song.
Yes. We have our own private language for Jimmy Webb.
I'm Jimmying the Webb.
As everyone can see on the radio there.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I kept forgetting who the writer was.
So you really like MacArthur. You like the song MacArthur Park a lot.
I do.
It's a pretty melody. Okay, fine.
I do.
But the cake out in the rain. But crying out.
But it's a very... I think that's a very challenging song for someone to do.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
So you wanted to hear the poor piano guy at Don't Tell Mama play it.
Yes. Okay. So Fred was yours. He asked people to write the songs down on their on a napkin and give him suggestions. Right. Fred didn't do that. Fred just told him that verbally, and you gave him two choices. Right.
What were your choices?
No, I just gave him one choice.
So what was your choice? I said Fred asked him to play either MacArthur Park or 59th Street Bridge.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he had a choice. Anyway, he seemed to have forgotten Fred's request because several other requests got played. And so, you know, we were getting tired, and so we decided to leave. He saw us leaving, and he remembered Fred. So Fred was standing there, and he was saying, Fred. And I was like, Fred. And, you know, Fred wasn't paying attention. So he saw us leaving, the piano player did. And so, I mean, he could have just ignored us if he didn't want to do it. Mm. But he saw Fred and I leaving, and he remembered, and he played it.
Now, that's very cool. That, well, he got a tip out of it, but that's very cool. That's actually really nice of him, yeah.
Yeah. Cause
do you know who the, was it? It wasn't Ricky Ritzel or what, do you know who the piano player was?
No, I don't.
I don't remember.
I'm just curious.
Sorry, I don't. Yeah, because actually, I would say everyone there was very sweet to us. Yeah, because when I, it's a long story, but when I arrived, I was feeling kind of nauseous from my cab ride. It's the first time I ever hailed a cab, by the way. I mean, I've been in a cab before, but I
went to New York and you
yes,
yeah,
outside of the Tisch School, I hailed a cab, which was very exciting. And
I didn't do an Uber thing. It was an actual yellow. Yes, like hello,
yes, yes.
Yeah.
And but I got kind of nauseous, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of hanging out in front of the cabaret. And then I got some potato chips to help me feel better.
I beg your pardon? Fake potato, you know, tofu potato chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got something salty to eat.
Talk about this, yeah.
And anyway, the whole staff was so sweet to us. And
that's cool.
And we, it's just, they were wonderful. And I'm sorry I don't remember all their names, but what a fun place. I mean, is there a place like that here where you can just go and sing? And
maybe in Fort Collins there is.
People were, like, requesting songs and singing along, and it was wonderful.
That's a New York piano bar. That's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah.
I know. And
yeah, go find, maybe in Denver. Maybe.
Maybe, okay.
You can look, if you look for it, I'll bet you find one in Denver.
Okay, etiquette question.
Yeah.
So.
Like I'm the expert in etiquette.
Yeah, but it's, this is sort of a, you know, not a swanky piano, but just a nice piano.
Well, don't tell Mama it's not considered especially swanky. It's not the Carlisle.
No, it's not.
It's not the Carlisle. So that's because I'm wondering, like, what's a good tip? And Fred, you tipped him too.
Yeah, I gave him.
And then when he sang, so when he started singing it, I went up
and I gave him extra two.
Yes.
Hmm.
So I mean, was that proper what I did?
Any amount that you're going to give a piano guy, he'll be grateful for. Okay. I mean, a buck is a little cheap if he sings your song.
Right. So,
if he hasn't sung your song, you just wanted to thank him for playing music and being there, you give him a buck or two. But anywhere up to, I guess, five. You get well-heeled people will probably say, oh, it's the piano man. Sure. They're drunk and they shove $20 in his glass. And he'll be like, please come back. But, two, like three, $4 bucks for a song, why not?
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to one of the etiquette questions I had for you.
Totally. By the way, Fred was also kind enough to hand me a postcard here of the information for people in New York who want to go see Karen Mason, who is a friend of the neighborhood. She's playing at Don't Tell Mama every Sunday and Monday in May at 7 o'clock. So you've got the whole rest of the month to see her. Don't Tell Mama over at 343 West 46th Street. In Man. I'm sorry, my eyes, I'm not wearing my glasses, but thank you for this. Any other New York stories before we end this episode?
There are more, but
give me a good one.
Well, good one. Well, what do you think? Seeing the Fearless Girl statue was quite exciting for me. So the statue that's now right near the bull.
Is that in Wall Street-ish?
Yeah. So I guess she's just temporary for another year or so? I don't know. There's been some controversy about it.
Yeah, did you say that? Why? I don't understand why this statue of a little girl with her hand out, like, being fearless. What made that controversial?
I guess the artist who sculpted the bull is upset about it.
Oh, because it's too close. And
he feels it changes
takes
the
a space,
meaning
of
the statue somehow.
Fair
but enough. For me, as a tourist, it was just fascinating to see the time we were there, it was a lot of the men were having their pictures taken by the bull, and it was all women.
Wait, the bull was taking their picture? What?
Sorry. No, the they were having their friends pictures of them on the bull or next to the bull, and the women were having their pictures taken with the girl.
Sure.
And
as was Bill Cosby, which is kind of interesting.
And anyway,
and Roger
for
Ailes.
Me, it was just very, I don't know, it was just wonderful because she was fearless. She's probably about 7 or 8. She's prepubescent, you know, that age where
girls... Would you check her hair? What do you mean?
No, but girls feel powerful at that age.
Oh, I see. Like Matilda of...
So it was really wonderful. Yeah.
Good.
So I enjoyed that.
Did you walk around Wall Street? Did you kind of get the sense of...
Not really.
I didn't go to the 9/11, any of that.
No, we did that last time.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, that memorial is wonderful. Yeah. And
still think
moving.
They should put a Ferris wheel up there, but... Yeah.
Hmm.
Just kidding.
But yeah, we went last time, so... Yeah, this time, well, I saw the, we walked over to the United Nations building. It was fairly near where we had our hotel. And I didn't have time to go inside, but I was really glad to see that Ralph Bunche monument across the street.
I'm sorry, what monument? I didn't hear
it's a, Ralph Bunche Park.
Oh, okay.
And there's a monument. It's just the verse from Isaiah on the wall about the swords being changed to plowshares.
Yeah.
So a peace, peace related verse. I really like seeing that. And
yeah, I'd really like to go after Kim Jong-un with some plowshares. We'll see how well we do with that.
But, yeah. And then I don't know, I just probably had some other... etiquette question for
you. Oh, here we go, yeah.
What would Joyce and Dave do? Oh. So when you... Say you're riding the subway, do you talk to each other during your subway ride?
Oh, I'll hold a conversation on the subway with someone I know.
Yeah.
In a reasonably toned voice. Okay. Everybody else is shouting at each other, and high school students are screaming at each other and climbing the walls, and somebody's asking for money. But, you think it's bad form to converse?
Fred has trouble hearing.
I have trouble hearing her, I have problems with
it. But, I just want to talk, you know?
Yeah, but if you get two seats together, you should be able to.
Yeah.
It's a little tougher if one's hanging on the pole.
Yeah, that's when I have to bend over while she's sitting.
I always hate hanging on a pole on the subway. I'd much rather hang on to an Armenian. Yeah.
I might be a pole. I might be a pole.
Oh, here we go.
I might have some Polish.
Go for it. I probably do too.
Let's see. I like that spacious. I mean, this is all. I have a lot of trivia. But that was the one etiquette thing I really wanted to ask you.
Sure.
I mean, there's other silly things. Like, this is, I think, the odd year, so Southwest Airlines is only serving sugar-coated peanuts, and I really wish they had salty peanuts.
Okay.
So that's something.
Did you just say tuna-coated peanuts?
Honey-coated. It's honey-coated peanuts. Yeah. She said sugar, but it's honey.
Wait a minute. How the hell did you get Southwest Airlines from Denver
to Newark?
Oh, Newark. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because they don't go to JFK. I was wondering why the hell.
They go to LaGuardia.
Okay.
Yeah, we took the shuttle. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what's up with Weehawken and the Lincoln Tunnel and all that?
I don't know. What's up with Weehawken and the Lincoln Tunnel?
So, I feel so sorry for those folks because it's just like this constant. I mean, the people that live in Weehawken, I mean, they're right there by the entrance to the tunnel.
Okay.
And there's just these constant vehicles day and night going in that tunnel.
That's, I guess, price of living in Weehawken, which is very close to Manhattan. It's
I'm just concerned. I just think our transit system should be even better. I mean,
you agree with Donald Trump. Our infrastructure, we're working on 120-year-old subway tracks trying to move billions of people.
On something.
What do you do? I really don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm serious about this. Yeah,
I'm serious XM about it.
And I
that's comedy right there.
That is funny.
Thank you.
So I envy the East Coast, their transit system. I mean, it's so much better than ours.
Well, we don't have one.
Well, yeah, we could do a whole program on that, could we not?
Hey, we might get the Hydroloop. What is that called?
Hyperloop.
Yeah.
Hyperloop.
From Greeley to Denver in 4 minutes.
Because if we don't have that, it's a limousine for you and me.
Yeah, seriously, that's all we got. We got the Greeley Shuttle, which I have to say, I liked quite a bit. I took it when I went to New York 3 weeks ago and took it going and coming, and the Greeley Shuttle was really very nice. I think it got me sick because they had like a fan blower belt above my head, and I just kept getting dosed with cold air.
How are you feeling?
Well, I'm my better. Cold is 2 weeks old already, but I think that didn't help.
Yeah.
And also, it's like $80 round trip to go to a fucking airport, so not thrilled with that. Yeah. But when you're the only game in town, I have to say, and they waited for me on my 11 o'clock at night plane coming back. They waited. They were there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kudos.
We had good service, I thought.
Yeah,
did you take them too?
Yes.
Yeah, we took them too.
Yes.
So, but anyway, I'm concerned about the people in Weehawken, breathing all that, all those car exhaust fumes, and there was a sign. There was a sign that really confused us in Weehawken.
It said, why were you in Weehawken?
Because we took the shuttle, like the airport shuttle, like one of those vans.
Yeah. Oh,
the shuttle from Newark, and our hotel was in Midtown.
Because there's no other reason in the world.
Except the library looked really cool from I saw their library building, and really cool architecture from the outside, and it looked like a nice place. But anyway, There was a sign that really confused us, got us worried.
Yeah.
It said reduced speed, get ticket.
Reduced speed, what?
Reduced speed, get ticket.
So we were worried that you would get fined for going too slowly in Weehawken.
Yes.
But we think it meant to reduce your speed to get a ticket to pick up like the whatever the thing at the
pay the toll for
the toll
tunnel.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It
it's
like
warning you that you know you're going to zoom through the toll booth. I
yeah.
think.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were worried we were going to get a ticket. I mean, if I was
no, I don't blame you. That's confusing.
That
scary. All right, guys, give me one last New York tidbit. And then we'll close because we're hungry and we want to go meet my wife and have some food.
Oh, I have one for you.
Yeah.
Fred was carrying a bag that had a publisher's logo on it, and a woman thought he was a local, thought he was from New York.
Sure.
So if you want to make people think you're in New York or carry a
publisher's you want to look like a tourist, carry a publisher's.
Right,
yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah. May I just stare up at the buildings with a camera?
And
yeah.
Don't go to the tickets booth if you have low blood sugar because you might not understand what your wife says to you.
Well, yeah. How long were you, if you went at, or just before 7, how were the lines by then?
Oh, the line was short.
Yeah.
That was the problem. It didn't give us enough time to...
To even decide what you were going to see.
Yeah.
But it sounded like you were pretty happy with your choice overall.
Oh, it was great. Yes. I was so glad for everything I saw, yeah.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah, yay to the artists and all the people that work on those things. I just admire people.
From the off Broadway of Karen Finley and Don't Tell Mama all the way to the Broadway of Doll's House Part 2, and from seeing all that stuff in New York, I was just in New York. I still envy you because you got to see all things I didn't get to see and probably won't. Although now, you know, I might travel a bit more now that we have we no longer have a sick dog at home.
Okay, I will say one last thing I saw that I really enjoyed was an art show called A Third Gender at the Japan Society.
Yeah.
It's about these prints from Edo era Japan, like 17th and 18th century, of these young men of ambiguous sexuality who were...
Yeah, okay.
And it was...
I'm already yawning. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well,
No,
good.
But you liked it, yeah?
I enjoyed it a lot.
What, did you learn anything really interesting about Japanese transvestites of the Edo era? Or
yeah, I did not know anything about them, so I learned a lot about them. Oh. And so I think we should stop, but Wendy has more.
Well,
yeah.
So, crosstown traffic, what do they call it?
Crosstown traffic.
Yeah, so what do you call the traffic going the other direction?
It's still wait, what?
The uptown, downtown traffic. Does that have a special name?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Northbound, southbound, I think, is more like
Okay. I just wondered if the other was...
Yeah.
And then disobeying the traffic signals toward the end, remember? Just explain it to Dave.
We mean on foot?
The locals know when to start crossing while the walk sign is still.
Yeah,
it took us a while to get...
I mean, it's technically jaywalking, but...
Right. I mean, because we didn't want to die, but we figured it
You're
out.
You're more likely hit by a crazy bicyclist, really, than a...
Okay.
Yeah. Or by some guy in the middle of Times Square who just wants to kill everyone. But you know the funny thing? You got back from New York, and then 3 days later... This crazy lunatic, this Jose, whatever his name was. When Joyce and I went about 6 or 7 years ago to California, she had a conference, like the RAND organization that she was at a conference with. And so we were over in like Venice area and, we're going to have the Muscle Beach thing. Where is that?
No.
Torrance or what?
It is Venice Beach.
In that whole area. And I want to say Beverly Hills, but it's not.
Echo Park? I don't know.
That's sort of. Well, anyway, 2 days after we come home from New York, some old guy lost control of his car in the middle of, like, the market. And it just went plowing through and killed, like, 4 people and injured. And we had been standing in that spot about 48 to 72 hours earlier. It's just one of those things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys weren't killed. You're here.
We're here. We made it back alive.
And we thank Fred and Wendy for being with us once again in the Neighborhood, sharing their stories of New York. We want to thank all our listeners for tuning in every week here on Dave's Gone By, every Saturday from 9 until noon or thereabouts here at UNC Radio, the radio station of the University of Northern Colorado. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. Want to thank you all of you for tuning in. Big thanks to my darling and adorable wife, Joyce, for spending the first part of the show with us here. Thank you also to the folks at UNC Radio for keeping the station going over the summer. Thank you to Fred Cleaver and Wendy Hybe for being with us in the neighborhood. For now, time to bid you guys farewell.